Welcome to the Off the Road Again podcast. I'm Chris.
I'm Ross.
This is our podcast about anything and everything off-road. There were no computer glitches that time. We're going to roll with it. As always, we're socially distanced. Ross is in the Northeast. I'm in the Midwest. It's only us tonight. We're going to go through a lot. We're basically, this episode is Tales of Rogue Overland Expedition. Mm-hmm. I did talk to all those guys live on what I refer to as like the plains of Mars, but it was tan. Like it's not red. But there literally was no vegetation. Like the tallest vegetation was 6-inch little cacti things that you had to watch to make sure you didn't drive over.
Good episode. People listen. Yeah. Go listen to it. If you haven't, it's the Rogue Overland guys seem like good guys and they put on a hell of a show.
And if Ian is still listening to episodes, I am so sorry that I mentioned the secret that's been done to your truck that I can't talk about. I'm apologizing. Like he was texting me, he was texting Sean. And I feel bad that I brought it up. So that's on me.
Well, it's not a secret anymore.
They haven't figured out what it is yet. So it's what has been done is still a secret.
Oh, man. today's story
now,
time. It'll be
I do now live in fear of Sean. So knowing what he's done to Ian. Yeah. Anyway. You did stuff to the Lexus, though.
Yeah, your part of the show is going to be a hell of a lot more interesting, but I did stuff to the GX. Grom very kindly sent over this CarPlay unit to install because for some reason Lexus decided that Apple CarPlay was not needed until 2022. So my 2018 GX was Bluetooth only, so they sent over a CarPlay unit. And I finally, after a couple months of having this thing, got around to installing it at the time of this release that this show goes out, hopefully it will be done because I'm currently probably 6 hours into it and it should not have taken that long. Part of that is my ineptitude when it comes to doing stuff like this. And I fully admit and acknowledge it. And part of it is also that there's a choose your own adventure aspect to installing this.
Okay.
In regards to where the module can actually live, you know, they recommend putting it in the glove box. Then you kind of lose most of your glove box. So I have it in the center console now. So I'm running the wires from the radio down through the center tunnel into the center console. The second part of why this is a pain in the ass is that aside from taking the majority of the dashboard out of the car, it's choose your own adventure. And then there's the difference between hack job install and making it look like it's factory. And I'm mm-hmm. really, really, really trying to make it look like it's factory because, okay. You know, a lot of the other stuff on the truck looks like it came that way, you know, like in terms of not necessarily like looks like it came that way, but like everything's integrated really well so far. You know, it's put together in a way that is very like OEM plus in my mind. And I'm really trying to do this so that it doesn't look like I rush through it and so I got the unit working. It works beautifully. The Grom unit is, you know, it's a hunk of metal with a brain inside of it that you can't see, and you plug a whole bunch of wires into the back of the radio and the nav unit, the screen, and suddenly you have Apple CarPlay and it's amazing. And I very much look forward to playing with it more. I'm
sharing more of an in progress photo now.
Yeah, I deeply.
It's the one I edited too. I added Danger to Manifold to your laptop.
Yeah, I got a really good laugh out of that. Good. So the install process is basically you take out the navigation. Nah, I keep calling it navigation, but it's the screen, the touch screen.
Yeah, the multimedia display.
Yes, which in Lexus on this model controls everything, HVAC included. So you take that out, then you take out the radio, which lives below it. Then you take out everything around it, basically. So,
dude, even your shifter's been disassembled in this photo.
Oh, like, yeah. No, the shifter's...
This little metal stick here in the middle is what lets you change gears now.
The funny part about that is in order to actually pull the radio far enough backwards, you have to move the shifter into neutral. So you have to pry off the little, you know, tab guy and push the button and move the shifter into neutral. And
obviously chalking the truck before you moved it, right?
Obviously, yeah. Okay. As I was doing it, as I'm moving the truck from park into like reverse. I'm like, I should probably put on the emergency brake, and I like kick the emergency brake. So yeah, so I have like a 30-pound rock in front of the rear tire right now. But yeah, no, I mean, for somebody who does this stuff all the time, install would be like straightforward as straightforward gets. But I don't do this all the time, as it turns out. And it's, you know, it's like, it's not a small job.
No.
So
it is not a small job.
Yeah. But hopefully it's going to come out in a way that looks like it came from the factory that way.
I mean, you did send us an image with stuff displayed on it that looked like it was functioning. So the your screen is functioning again.
Yeah. 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 Everything works. It's just a matter of reassembling those last final pieces. So I'm at the point now, and obviously by the time this comes out, it'll be over and done with, hopefully, of basically deciding where in the center console I want to cut the hole to run the wires to the module.
Okay.
Which I went to do about an hour before we recorded the show and found out that my Dremel battery was dead. So that's charging at the moment. And I also have to decide where to run. So the factory USB ports that live in the center console aren't going to be functional other than for power supply.
Okay.
From the factory, they, you know, you plug it in and it'll run audio through the head unit. So now there's a USB that plugs into the module. So if you plug it, the USB into your phone, it'll like, you know, it'll do CarPlay wired. So I just have to figure out where to put that USB, which is probably going to entail cutting a tiny little USB size hole in the center console and then just crazy gluing it. So it's just a matter of, you know, personal preference on that stuff, because it's like, it's uncharted territory. You know, everybody that's done this before, it seems like has done it to an earlier GX, and there were like some differences that made it a little easier to run wires and such and hook up USBs to places, or they put it in the blank above the center, the diff lock button on the dash, but I don't want like a USB running out of the dashboard under the steering wheel.
Right.
You know, or they just like don't do it in a way that looks good, like chopping holes in random places or like running a wire and then shoving the panel closed so that the wire is like smushed, you know.
You thought about like 3D printed stuff that I'm sure like somebody has something for the GX or for USB ports or stuff like that?
It's not supported to that degree yet. Okay. Maybe the Forerunner. I think the Forerunner would probably do that, but no, I
feel like the GX has more support than the Sequoia does. So
than the Sequoia, yeah.
Yeah. Probably. But I want to do some research on it. I want to see what I can come up with, because I feel like I've seen a bunch of that shit lately. So
if you can find something for me, I am happy to try it out. My current plan is, because I have the base model, it doesn't have like the full MTS thing, you know, the like traction, the off-road cruise control,
the knobs buttons or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. So I just have like four low, and then what is the one next to it? Descent control. Yeah. So there's two blanks above it. So I'm thinking I'm just going to like mill out a rectangle in the size of a USB, shove the USB in, and, you know, glue it.
We might check Alibaba if we can find something that already is prepped for that. Like,
I feel like used Alibaba. So
that's where I found the fog light switch or the LED spotlight switch for the 80 series on there. And that's also what got me talking to the Department of Homeland Security. So I that might be a story for another time, but I don't know. I'm pretty sure I told that story on the podcast, didn't I?
I don't think I've heard that one, but that is hysterical.
So for whatever reason, when I bought that switch, it came in packaging that people had been ordering modifications for their firearms from overseas. And it came in like similar packaging from a similar distributor. And so they were like, we just want to make sure you weren't doing stuff with your guns. And I was like, I'll show you the switch. It's in the link. But like,
you know, very, I think you might have
interesting phone conversation.
I think that was like 100-something episodes ago it came up.
Dude, it had to be forever ago. Like that had to be definitely first year of the podcast.
That's really funny. I mean, it probably wasn't funny at the time.
No, it was super creepy. I was like, who's messing with me? And there was actually like Homeland Security. So good times.
Yeah. Anyways, that's the Lexus update. And other than that, I have no fun stories.
No fun stories. Well, I don't have any update on my Lexus other than we put gas in it the other day. Oh, that was
you're gonna do a lot of that.
So. Yeah. I've been driving the Suburban for like school run stuff. And then like, if I need to run an errand midday or whatever, and like, I know Lily or my kids aren't going to be involved, like I'll take the Lexus, like no big deal. Yeah. I enjoy driving it. Like I really like
the seating position in those things and the amount of glass going back to a truck that's of that age. You're just like, this is a cruiser. It is like nostalgic.
The greenhouse is something I notice every fucking time I'm in. Because first of all, like no backup camera, no parking sensors. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, but then you can see everything. So I don't care.
And the bumpers, it's hood and
bumper.
And
the yeah.
back window goes straight down and there's like 4 inches above. Yeah.
Yeah. It's very maneuverable. Yeah. So.
But you have good stories. I don't have good stories today. You have good stories.
Yeah, it's, I don't know how good a story it is.
It's a good story.
It's going to be a long story. So the reason for this episode is I attended the 2023 Rogue Overland Expedition. Hashtag Rogue Overland Expedition. Like if you've seen my stuff on Instagram lately, like it's a lot of sponsored posts on there, which as a member of the podcast, we were the official podcast of the expedition. Yeah. So we're listed there. So
that's, and also, for us nerds, the Rogue portion is apparently a Star Wars reference. So
it is a Star Wars reference. And there was Star Wars t-shirt day. If you've
the best.
I think Nick released the day 3 highlight video and there's like, it's Star Wars day, and everybody has a Star Wars shirt. Best part of that day though, driver's meeting early. I don't remember what day of the week that was, Saturday. One of the ladies showed up purposely wearing a Star Trek t-shirt, and it was so good and well timed. And Savachi hadn't noticed it as he was going through everything. And then as he's scanning the crowd, he landed on it and was like, hold up, we got to stop this and address that first. Like, she did a very good job. So anyway.
That's pretty funny.
So I drove the Sequoia. We've established that it was going.
Yep. So just to give the background, Rogue Overland Expedition, Moab, Utah, huge group of off-roaders, wide variety of vehicles,
people 39 from all over, trucks,
39 trucks, people from all over the country, and, you know, spread of trails, people from different backgrounds, and everybody getting together, just go wheeling.
So almost everybody, I think, had been on some version of a road trip before.
Okay.
Except you. Yeah, I was the first completely brand new participant, but everybody else, like, had some interaction before. And the nice thing was, like, I did know some people on the trip going into it, like the Via Cross, the Dung Beetle. Like, I knew we had interacted on Instagram enough times that when I got there,
it seems like a nice dude.
He's they're good people. I like them. But he's going to feature here in a little bit. We're definitely going to talk about his stuff.
Hell yeah.
Cause I'm pulling up Instagram right now. So to get out there, I drove from Kansas City to Moab in one day. I left here at about 5:10 in the morning and pulled into Moab around 6-ish.
It's pretty good time.
To be honest, it was amazing time. I mean, it went 13 and a half hours approximately. I stopped for gas in Hays, Kansas, Lyman, Colorado, Glenwood Springs, Colorado, and then I pulled into Moab. So only 3 fuel stops. And none of that. Lyman was like, I was pretty low. And Glenwood Springs, when I first saw the sign, I was doing the math in my head for Grand Junction, which is another like 100 miles past. But then I saw the sign for Glenwood again. I was like, oh no, never mind, I'm totally good. Like, I thought I was gonna roll in with like 14 miles range, or a little less. And then I was like, all right, well, there are other fuel stops like Vail and
Gaslight on, like, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I ever turned the gas light on the trip, which was good considering I was concerned about fuel range. Like the tank is,
how big is the tank?
I want to say it's like 26. I think it's the same as the Land Cruisers. Like, it's not a big tank.
What are you getting in gas mileage? Like 15, 14?
Sure. I didn't even do the math. It is not good. That's what I know. Like,
other question. you do a lot of these 12-hour-ish road trips, and obviously some of them are, you know, family trips. But what do you do for, like, on this trip? Did you do audiobooks? Was it podcasts the whole time?
So the nice thing lately is I've been getting back into audiobooks. And so, like, I've been listening. So when I was a middle school teacher, like, I got introduced to a lot of youth fiction with series, which has been super handy.
Such as?
On this trip, I listened to two different series on this trip. So one is from the Ranger's Apprentice series, which is about a kid in, like, medieval times who becomes a ranger. And he shoots arrows a lot. Like, And I finished a book in that. And started a book in that. Mm-hmm. And then, I was just into the I don't know if it was book five or book six, one of those books deep into the series. And then I went to one of the Percy Jackson series, but it's not the original. That. It's not the original five. It's another one called, I think it's called, like, The Heroes of Olympus. Mm-hmm. And that was book two of that one. Okay. So I finished one and started that one, and I actually finished that one on the way back and did it and started another Ranger's Apprentice one, but in there, sports podcasts, things like that, things that I know will hold my attention. But really the audiobooks are, they're pretty good for me. With the kids though, like if the kids are involved, they all have their crap. DVDs, things like that. Your kid's just too small. She can't function with that stuff yet. And your wife hates screens anyway. So
we desperately resorted to like wheels on the bus on the drive home the other day.
Yeah.
And it shut her up for a few minutes. And then this morning when she was fussing about, I went on Spotify and found a metal version of Wheels on the Bus, which she found even more interesting. So
there you go.
Victory. So, anyway, so you drove out to Moab and
drove out to Moab one day. I did stay at a hotel the first night. I was very fancy. It was not fancy. It was a horrible motel. Do not recommend.
Yeah.
The day it was it a Days Inn? I was like, I want to take the elevator to the second floor. And he's like, we don't have one of those. And I was what is this place? You don't have an elevator?
Know those all too well.
Right. So first, the first day I knew, so I drove out on a Wednesday. I knew Thursday it was like an early, like it was our earliest start time. It was 7:30. And I think I was, because I was still on Central Time, I was up crazy early. I didn't sleep well. And so the city market had a Starbucks in it. So I ran in and got some coffee. And I bought my first modification of the trip. Very, very fancy mod. For the audio listener, it is my Stanley water mug with a foam Moab koozie crammed onto the bottom of it. Because for whatever reason, this, like the bottom of the Sequoia's cup holder have like a little ridge at the very bottom. Mm-hmm. So instead of this cup sitting flat, it like sits on this little ridge on the bottom and wobbles. Yeah. I threw this koozie on, stuck it in there, solid the rest of the trip. And we drove a lot off kilter, crazy angles. This cup didn't move the rest of the trip.
I don't know ecstatic. If you've noticed. Toyota cup holders are terrible.
Yeah, they're
the fourth gen 4Runner cup holders are, they're like not even cup holders.
Oh, I've experienced them.
They're all bad. Was that the Sequoia in that picture?
Yeah, that's the Sequoia in the background.
Really?
Yeah. But what's curious? You haven't looked the inside of it?
Yeah, the steering wheel looks old.
It looks like old
in the shape, but I guess that is, yeah, maybe it's just the,
my favorite part is like there's a weird depression right here that's for, I guess you put like coins there or whatever, but like,
yeah,
it didn't make a lot of sense.
What's in
that's
it?
Where is I, that your that's radio? Where I kept my vitamins and my radio, to be honest. My radio filled the actually sat in the Starbucks cup once I finished that Starbucks. So
yeah. All right, so you bought a mod. You bought
a koozie. The mug I already had. Pulled up.
Enough koozies.
Driver's meeting. I will give them a ton of credit for the way they ran this driver's meeting. They got us all lined up. This yellow FJ is Nick from Zach from Wildland Coffee. Everybody's a Nick on this trip. Just so if I say Nick, I'm gonna apologize now. It's probably the wrong name. But Zach, he's Wildland Coffee. It's coffee in tea bags. So you heat up the water, you put the coffee bag in it, let it steep, and the instructions are on the bag. he was my best friend the whole trip, because I'd be like,
yeah, seriously. If,
not only at this meeting, like, he handed everybody a bag with coffee bags in it, but like, he was like, I've got stuff to test for you to test later. And I was like, I'm on board, because it we all like know
it could be some awesome cold brew.
I'm sure he has a thought process about that. He and I discussed a lot of coffee stuff. So, tons of, there were Tacomas, there were Forerunners, there were Xterras, there was this brand new Frontier, Jonathan and Cindy, just a great lineup of vehicles. There was a AEV Prospector, which was massive. There was a Ford F. Yeah. Willie's a beast. He had a slider fall off, I think, and kept wheeling. Like, just, oh my God. Yeah.
Like a welded slider that fell
off? I didn't get details. So Willie will have to, Willie does listen to the show. So Willie, shoot me a message that wasn't totally Willie, clear on that.
Good for him. I'm very, very well done.
And then, so driver's meetings. My favorite part about this group was, and if you listen to the episode where I sat down with all the leaders, I asked every single one of them, like, what's one piece of advice that you would give? And without them discussing ahead of time, they all said the same thing. It was all open mind and attitude.
Yep.
And that was very, very early on clear. They're like, hey, we're just going to put you in some situations where if you're uncomfortable with it, just let us know. We'll work around stuff. Absolutely would go wheeling with these guys again. I never felt like I risked the truck. And we've got some images that are a little chaotic later.
Yeah.
I never felt like I actually risked the truck to anything crazy. I was a part of Red Squadron, which our leader for that was Mike Schaefer. So if you go back and watch the leaders episode, Mike wheeled his wife's fourth Drenton mom mobile. Is basically to the point the joke became they called Mike mom on the radio, which is hilarious because this Tacoma up here, which I think it's Steve and his son Michael, and everybody called Steve dad, to the point where Michael calls Steve because everyone else calls him dad. So we had dad and mom, and they had a son. Yeah. So and then this is a Max Armor.
Yeah.
That is a V8 swapped JKU.
What V8?
Ross, I didn't get specifics on this stuff. This is like 3 weeks ago. So
okay. So so two questions. So, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Mike's 4Runner has a 2-inch lift on it. It has sliders, and then that's it.
Is not dissimilar.
It's open. Like, literally, he and I were rolling momobiles. Like, yeah, I drove my wife's Sequoia, he drove his wife's 4Runner. This badass right here, Tacoma, is Margie and Hans with an AT Overland Habitat up top. The whole backseat is for their dog. She's got sweet sliders.
Are those sliders blue?
They are.
That was one of my questions.
On the trip, we established that this truck is now known as the Balloonicorn because she has unicorn stuff all over it. And with the blue highlights, it just worked out. So to the point where she started using it on Instagram the other day, and I was like, hell yeah, like, we're ready to go.
Yep, that's a handle right there.
Yeah, and my favorite thing about her is because as heavy as she is, she wasn't taking the aggressive line that everybody else would take. She would was a little more subtle line. So for me, I followed her. It was perfect. I just stayed most of that first day. I was right behind her, very calm and chill. Literally, driver's meeting straight up to 7 Mile.
So you following her brings my second question in. Is everybody running the same difficulty trails, or are the groups pulled together based on what you're trying to tackle?
It's just everybody ran everything.
Okay.
So at the more intense obstacles, there were bypasses. Mm-hmm. And so, like, as we headed up, like, I'm going to share this video here just because this wasn't like a crazy moment in the trail. So Ian behind me, this is his long travel Tacoma. And this is Jonathan and Cindy and their brand new Frontier. I think it has a lift to it, but this is Ian just spotting them down.
That right rear was off the ground.
It was.
Yeah.
But, and they're running it. They've got a go fast up top, I think. Mm. There were a lot of go fast around. There were a lot of CVTs. Yeah. I saw at least one guy ran a shift pod tent on the ground. There were a lot of like quick pop-up things. And I just slept in the Sequoia the whole time.
It's like stealth camping, basically.
Pretty much. And like when everyone else would like set up camp and I would just park, Like it was just, it was a little different. So
we were just talking to Holman about like the overcomplication of off-road setups.
So that first 7 mile trail runs into what's called Uranium Arch. And by the time we got up there, it was snowing on us. Uranium Arch is like a little pull-off area. It's just this kind of bigger section. It's really pretty. I didn't get any history on it. But the snow was thick. There's Margie hiding in the corner.
Well, the history is there were more rocks and now there are less rocks.
Right. The geology of it. So
somebody in my geology program in college present something like that, and it was like silence for 30 seconds, and then they were like, but really what happened? It was like that was the joke.
The pause. Yeah. The lengthy pause. So the coolest part about pulling off here was like we got all the vehicles like in and around this little parking area here. So like 39 rigs all parked up. You can see the square hide in the background. Yeah. You see Mike's 4Runner in there.
Yep. Yep. Audio listeners, it is a large, large arch. It looks like you're probably standing under, it's what, like 35, 40 feet tall off the ground?
Probably from like the base down here up. Yeah. Yeah. I took this picture probably halfway up. So yeah, I think you're accurate.
Red sandstone and
it's just
and snow against green trees
and then the black runs of whatever the crap that is, probably the uranium.
It's the runs.
It was the runs. But literally after that section we ended up like it only got snowier, to the point where like it was driving snow. This was up a section we kind of came up, man. I wonder if I had that. Like, this is the Via Cross going through a little bit of a tighter spot up here. And I'm down. Literally in front of me is just a turn left. And it's up a slope. And then you get to the spot where he is. And it's just a sheer rock. So the more snow that kept coming down, the wetter it got down there. This was like a gnarly little section. It took him, I want to say, like one or two times just kind of bump it through. The best part of that. Oh, I do have. I got Willie in the AEB there, too. Like
Jesus, that is
he is Willie really in this truck. It's a mega
cab too. It's not even a like a normal crew cab. It's a mega cab.
Yeah. So, but he took this everywhere. I took mine. He like that. We have an extra wheelbase is kind of rad. Like,
yeah.
It really was awesome. It's a big truck.
Good like for it. Yeah. The problem with video and for the audio listeners, I mean, you know. Go to YouTube and watch what we're putting on YouTube. But
well, like this is that slab headed up.
Yeah.
So that and of course there's like a wet bowl, and then you so like of course you get all of the tires wet before you get all the slab.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Stuff never ever looks as bad on video or in pictures as it is in person. And anybody who's ever, you know, driven up a hill on a road knows that. So off-road, just multiply it by, you know, six.
So this was the majority of Red Squadron. So Mike's 4th-gen 4Runner, Taco with the AT Overland, me, Long Travel Taco, Frontier, Jeff and his Black Xterra, Sergio and his F-250 Tremor.
Gangster.
Love this dude. Huge, huge truck. Good this is Donald in a blue Xterra. And then behind Donald, not pictured right here, was Jay. And his black Xterra, Jay cracked me up so hard because when we got to any actual obstacles and I would pay attention to spotters and do what they'd say, Jay would give me credit for it, which it's not me. It's the spotters getting you through. And he'd be like, God damn it, Sequoia. I spent thousands of dollars prepping this truck to get it what I did. And you're going through with basically an armored up stock truck.
Yeah. Is
it? Which is the same adage we always talk about. Obviously get it protected, but then like go drive what you got. It'll do it. Like I'm open diffs everywhere. Like,
and nothing replaces experience on a trail except doing exactly what an experienced spotter tells you to do.
So these are the ledges. There are three kind of big steps. This is Jay's Xterra with his Dukes of Hazzard skid plate.
I was gonna say.
Jay's fantastic.
The O1 is better than the Confederate flag. So
well, and back here you see this little JK in the background.
Yeah.
That is Jason. That's Jason out of Vegas. he bought it and basically like just took it on the strip. Like he ran into Ian's wife at a City of Commerce thing, and he's mm-hmm. like, "Yeah, I got a Jeep off road," and they're like, "Come on the trip with us." Like, mm-hmm. dude's never driven in snow and ice, and here we are putting him snow and Moab.
Any
like,
of any of these Xterras stick shift trucks?
Ooh, I don't know.
Okay.
I should have walked around more to see like in yeah. the trucks.
You didn't smell just, clutch or hear like horrible grinding as people
I did know, not
had problems. So
we are gonna reference this truck though, because we did talk about on the episode with Nick Savacci.
Yep.
His yellow Xterra blew the motor on I-70 day 3.
Oh,
not anything off weird, rad, like nothing. Literally cruising down 70.
Stock engine?
Pretty much, I think. So he'd had it rebuilt before by the guy who was like the guy for rebuilding. Because Nick Schulte was telling me about that. Yeah, having two Nick S's is not super straightforward. The good news is one's slightly taller than the other one, so it's like easy to like.
Yeah, there's a great bit in the Letterkenny spinoff.
And Shorzy,
and it's like, you're Jim Bob and you're Jim Bo and you're Jim.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it for sure. Yeah. So conditions were very like we were socked in for a lot of this. Through this sections of rock, there was basically this drop over here. I ended up taking that bypass around because I could not figure out a way to get the Sequoia down it without tearing the rear bumper off. So I did run up to the bypass and come down. I did skip the ledges. I would have tried the three ledges if it was dry, but like it's the mm-hmm. first day, it's early. I'm like, I'm not having to prove anything. I'm here with a stock truck. Like just completing it is good, right? But the conditions were really weird. Eventually,
how warm was it? Like, was it like a warm snow, or were you like, you don't want to be outside? Like it's windy and cold, kind of down.
It was windy and it was cool, but it wasn't frigid. I did have my like winter coat on.
Okay.
But this is like when it finally started to clear up. You could finally start to see like buttes in the background. And then we started running these like kind of like sand roads,
mm-hmm.
which was just
God, that picture is awesome.
It was just delightful. Well, and like Margie's truck is for like Instagram stuff, like she has a Instagram prep truck. Like it's but yeah. she uses oh, it. Yeah. Like it she used everything on it. It looks fantastic. It like we got down here to these buttes. The Sequoia just doesn't look good in photos. I love the truck for what it did, but like we've got to like toughen it up for photos. Like it's just
paint the grill surround black and like
make it look like the Lexus.
Oh my God.
My Lexus really has a black grill. So
if you did that to the Sequoia and also to the Suburban, that would be so funny. If all of them were just the same paint scheme.
Oh, the Suburban has so much chrome. Anyway, so this was the lunch break. And so this is where you can start to see like the groups divided up. So from Schulte's silver Xterra here to I think this black Xterra was Blue Squadron. So mm-hmm. I think it's Xterra. That's a Chevy Colorado with a diesel.
Yes, a Bison.
It's not a Bison. It's a ZR2. But it wasn't the full Bison package. Okay. Another Xterra.
Speaking of Bison, and this is news we should eventually talk about. You see the Bison they teased?
Yeah.
35s.
I saw Brian Dorr from Explore Elements. Yeah, like multiple times with it. So
him and Joel were throwing it out all over there.
Yep. Scott's running I think it was Scott running a red Bronco. I think it was a wild track with a 2.7.
Okay.
And then that's the JK. I think that's the JK.
Can you punch in?
Yes.
Beautiful. Okay. Yeah. JK with a light bar on the grill or the bumper.
Yeah. And then Xterra. So this was his tail gunner. And then this started. So that's blue tail. And then this would be green. And that would be
it's a Jared. Silver JK.
Yeah. Unlimited. Well, that's an eight. That's an AAV. Yeah. It was an AAV JKU. And awesome. Then obviously Dung Beetle via cross.
My hero.
Willie. I think Willie
also
is
my hero.
The lone overlander, I think is what he is.
That sounds right.
And this is another Bronco. This is one of the guys from Underland Off-Road. God damn it. Over. Oh my God.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. It's I'm a white. It's a fifth gen white 4Runner, which doesn't really narrow it down all that much.
Right. I just needed. I should have taken more notes. Underland off road. I was right. Yeah. And so he is under T4R. Is that specific truck? Mm-hmm. The word under T4R. And then it's Steve and Michael. This is dad and son. And then I think that's Max Gear. Max. Yeah, Max Gear underscore armor. Dave is his name. And that's the V8 swapped. And he does a lot of Xterra like armament. But that's his personal truck. But there, if you go to his Instagram, a ton of it is people on the rallies trucks on his page. So
nice.
And then obviously we got back into the rest of red. Mm-hmm. And then gold hadn't showed up. Gold was led by Sean and the white FJ Cruiser. And eventually they showed up and filled in over here. But then literally, so like that was our lunch stop. And this is like driving away from lunch. Like all of a sudden clouds clear out, gorgeous sunshine everywhere.
You had polarizing first day weather.
100%. And then like, I'm thinking I've done it all. I got through the crack, which I was terrified of.
Oh, you did the crack on
day on 7 mile rim. So, but the where that was really, really foggy, that was part of the crack. And then you know what? I have another image from around that space that Margie took facing backwards, and I threw it up on Instagram. And this is Mike spotting me through it. This like hole, just this wasn't even like one of the obstacles, but this was a giant mud pit over here.
Oh yeah.
And then you're tight to the tree and the rock, and this rock is actually like in it. Mm-hmm. And I think I watched Margie get through it. I watched her like settle like a foot and a half to the right. And I was like, hey, Mike, I don't want to get stuck. Can I get a spot? Like,
yeah,
because this is like 45 minutes to an hour into the trip. Like, help me out here. So
that escalated very quickly.
It did. It literally went from like, hey, we're in the parking lot to now we're up the hill and it's crazy.
Did anybody go through the mud?
Not that I saw anybody go over there. The reason I enjoy this crew is they were like, it's tread lightly. We want to maintain these trails for everyone else too. Like everybody very much was like, follow the leader. Don't fuck up. Don't ruin it for everybody else. Like
good on everyone.
And like, trust me, like there was some like, oh, we're going to get crazy. Like that stuff happened, but like in appropriate locations with appropriate technique, like,
mm-hmm.
So leaving lunch, literally it was just, I thought we were done. I thought we just drove out of here. I had no idea what to expect. And they were very calm about it. Because at this point, so this is Lauren up here in his power wagon pulling an off-road trailer. And I can't remember which company this was, but Lauren's company is called X-Grid Campers. Mm-hmm. X-Grid Campers or X-Grid Trailers. They're on Instagram. And we're gonna talk to Lauren more because he basically is a X-Grid Campers. They sell them. They sell all manner of trailers. And I was like, yes, we will talk more. And they're getting ready to open a store down in Knoxville, I think. So that's the one I mentioned to you that we'll try and figure out. So once you leave that Butte area, you end up here. The trail in this location is crazy weird because literally this is called the tippy point.
Mm-hmm.
And as you come here, there's a giant club of rock like right here. And Mike actually had to come over and spot me over that. I couldn't feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And he got me up and over that. But like then there's a section leading up to this that's a little off camber. And then there's this off camber part, which was just awful. there's some dirt bikes running around and having a great time. Like, it was just, and this, this is me headed up that section as they're now like headed around the corner. Like, and then that was looking back at everybody once I got through the hard section.
mm-hmm.
And then you come down this is actually incredibly uncomfortable. And doesn't not look at all as steep as it is in the photo. For the audio listener, like Ian's truck looks totally like he's driving just downhill, no big deal.
Yeah.
But you're in the belts coming down it. Like it's throwing you forward a little.
Yeah.
I took a bunch of E in doing that. And then, so then we got to here. So this is called Wipeout Hill.
Fake. This was, infamous? Famous? It's one.
I don't know, because I'd never heard of it until they were like, oh, we're going to go down Wipeout Hill.
Yeah.
There's no bypass. I was like, I'm sorry, what? So
it has a legend or something. It's known.
Right? When over the radio, yeah, you hear, hey, Blue Squadron's up here already. We're going to start heading down. Nina's going to help us out. And it didn't even, like, in my mind at the time, it did not jar. The name should have jarred something for me in a four-wheeling Moab area.
Uh-huh.
Somebody I feel like I've been digitally stalking for 2 years to try to get her to come on the podcast.
Communicating without it off, yeah.
Yeah. So the whole group came down here. So it's Nina Barlow. So eventually Savachi was spotting this top section, mm-hmm, and Nina was taking this bottom section here. She is there with Jeep in the international flight for the Rubicon 20th anniversary edition.
Ah.
So this is one of her rental vehicles, hence the name Barlow is across her, mm-hmm, her windshield here. So this is one of her vehicles. And then these were all brand new Rubicon 20th anniversaries up the hill.
Nice. Oh man.
But
was it journalists or was it like,
it was the international flight. So they were all overseas journalists. Okay. The best part of that interaction, which was what was just hilarious to me, is I walked up to the hill. I noticed former podcast guest Scott Talon, head of GPR. Oh, hi, and Scott. I was like, hello, Scott. Let me shake your hand in person now. And he goes, do you know there's some nut job over here with a stock Sequoia? And I was like, yeah.
He said that?
Yeah. I don't know if he said nut job, but he definitely said, did you notice the stock Sequoia? And I was like, yes, amazing, Scott, I'm driving it. And he was like, you are? I was like, yes, Scott. I was like,
did you even like have the Sequoia when we recorded with him?
Yes, I would have had the Sequoia by then. Yeah.
Okay.
That was like last winter is when that was. So nice people did take video of the Sequoia coming down. Now I can't find it.
Wipeout Hills, it has that name for a reason.
Yeah. Well,
my TJs and YJs going up it.
You yeah. Have
problems.
Well, like you, if you watch me, like I'm not great at it. There's a little sliding action. And literally right after that, Nick was like, hey man, if you let off the brake a little bit there, it'll roll instead of just slide. And I was like, all right, cool.
Yeah, it's such a delicate.
Not in my defense, but in my error, I was just in drive. I hadn't kicked it over to S and gone all the way down to first gear. So I probably was in like third and four low here. So like I could have had a little more engine brake, which would have helped with some of that. So I just want to thank Gina, Ian's wife, for helping get some video of me. She was very kind, and Margie took some pictures, which I'll share here in a second, but it was fun. This is fun to me because I never really felt like the truck was in danger. Mm-hmm. It's a gnarly section, but like when you have spotters, just pay attention to the spotters. And maybe that's because I did Jeep stuff forever ago. And basically the Jeep guys were like, listen, you'll pay attention to the spotter, you'll get the fuck out of Camp Jeep. Like, we're not playing around. And so as long as you fully trust in them, as awkward as the truck feels, if they're not freaking out, you're not freaking out.
Yep.
Like, spotters will freak out if they need to freak out. So Nina was very chill through here. And she was like, listen, we're going to take the line that's going to do the least amount of damage. And I was like, I appreciate that. Like, it's
ooh, you got some lift there.
Yeah. That right rear is off.
I didn't see this video. This is good.
My favorite part of Gina is she knows when to zoom in. Like, she's like,
excellent zoomography.
Yeah. So I did a little three wheeling. Truck settled a little bit.
Yep.
And at this point, I think I stopped and I said, oh, hi, Nina. Here's a podcast sticker. I've been trying. It was like the old joke about like, I've been trying to get in touch with you about your car's extended warranty.
Yeah,
like
that's,
I was like, hey, I've been really trying to get a hold of you for a podcast episode. So she did say, send me an email after a certain date, and I have communicated with her and she is lined up and we are going to get her on the show. So I'm very excited for that episode.
Also well spotted.
Yeah. She definitely knows her shit. I told Derek, I finally got her signed up for a show and he's like, she's amazing. But like, this is just a stock truck.
Yeah.
I didn't do anything fancy. Like, I did ride on the slider some, but that's a small investment. Like, mm-hmm. Go wheel what you got, guys.
Yep. Running what you brung.
Yeah.
Might have to chop that front bumper off, though.
To be honest, there's like five really little scratches on the front. The biggest is as I settle off the hill here, the rear bumper drags a little bit. And it drags a little on the passenger side. It dragged more on the driver's side. And so it's got a good, what I'm referring to as a badge of honor kind of thing on it now.
Battle scar.
Yeah, compared to...
Badge of honor, like the Jeep plaque things.
Yeah, trail rated.
Just it's take like a... Take a piece of masking tape and just write trail rated and put it over it.
That'd exactly. Really like I need to do something like that because that's so this is I think this right here is Gina. This is Nick Schulte hanging out. And then so this is a photo that Margie took. So look at Ian actually got up here all the way to Nick and Nick started to spot him. He's like, no, I want to watch the Sequoia Coke. it was the most like road worthy vehicle there of just like mm-hmm. not unmodified. So it was like, it had a little bit of celebrity because they were like, let's see what it does. Like,
mm-hmm.
and to be honest, it did great.
Yeah.
The only thing was, so after this, basically we ran out trails the rest of the day. We got to a parking area, which of course, as we're leaving, we're driving by all of the Jeep concepts with media drives in them. Awesome. Shout out to our homie Explorer Elements there in the Cherokee. Yeah. He's like, I was in the Cherokees. You guys were going by in a big group.
That's awesome.
I didn't get to drive anything. So, by the way, the Cherokee concept's Chief. Amazing.
Yeah.
Because it's a Cherokee body with, I think, a 4xE Rubicon chassis underneath it. And I was like, yeah, perfection.
I want that every day, but I don't want to spend $95,000 on that.
Right. To get that thing put together.
Yeah.
I still maintain the best concept is still the forward control concept. So,
100%.
Yeah, that's me.
That ship has sailed.
Yeah. And then,
all right. So that was still day one.
That's day one. Jesus. Yeah. I'm going to have to speed up based on our time. So we stopped in a parking lot. There was something weird going on in the 4x4 system as I was leaving the trail. It was a rotational noise, a thunk noise as we were going forward. Not a big fan of it. Mike Schaefer does have some mechanical and he got underneath and he was like, I'm pretty sure there should be four bushings, two up and two below for your front diff. And looks like the top two are gone. Hmm. So they think there's some under load. There was getting some movement and then something was spinning and hitting something because you get louder and more often based on the higher speed. So something rotational. So to be honest, the rest of the way out of that, I just dropped it into two wheel and rolled into town. I called Napa and Moab. I'm like, homie, you got front bushings bushings for a front diff and a Sequoia or Tundra. And they were like, mm-mm. I was like, all right, if a Napa was going to happen, it would be Moab Napa.
You'd have to call Toyota and that would still probably be an ordered part.
Yeah. And there's no Toyota dealer in Moab.
Right. Are there any dealers in Moab?
No.
Right. So
no. Moab's not a big town.
Yeah.
So from that, the road out to Hurrah Pass or Hurrah Pass, H-U-R-R-A-H Pass. I snapped a shot of Sergio's F-250 trimmer going over the top of the pass. Just some nice scenery. I think I got Donald's Xterra too, but I didn't take him sideways, which doesn't really play for the... Donald's Xterra, his rears had steel wheels and his fronts had the alloy wheels. He's got this rear tire carrier. He's got another spare underneath. Donald had two spares. Donald came prepared.
Did he have mismatched?
I don't know.
Okay.
So this was the view kind of like looking down from the pass.
Fucking
headed out. Awesome. This is one of those fun like mines where they have water and whatever. They turn the water colors to help us with that.
Potash or whatever.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure. So we got into camp. This is why I say like I stealth camp. Because my camp's set up right now.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I can see 8 rooftop tents in this picture and you're not even like punched in.
And there was one more behind me. Eventually I moved because the fire pit was like where I was standing when I took the picture. And I was like, I don't want to sleep next to the fire pit, guys.
Oh yeah. No, you don't want the inside of the truck either to smell like.
Well, and like, I just didn't want to be, if they wanted to stay up late and around the fire, I'm on central time. I was already wiped. My adrenaline rush for the day was pretty good. We had tacos this night. They did the raffle this night, which I fortunately won. The only thing that was Midwest based was tickets to the Moore Expo, which is coming up. Which shout out to Cindy and probably. Jonathan. If I actually see them next week, I'll be amazed because they also won tickets and they're based in California. So
you probably wouldn't need tickets.
Right. Yeah. I had already talked to Holloway about like media stuff. So, but yeah, so 12 volt cooler in the back, power supply for when the truck was off, tie downs. I had my little Coleman stove set up. This was in the morning. But yeah, there was just rooftop tents everywhere. Good sleeping spot. And then we headed out the pass with lots of like switchbacks on each other. So there were lots of places where you'd be like, oh, here's the entire group. So Jay's and Jeff's Xterra of our group. This is the gold group behind us. So this is Sean's FJ Cruiser into another FJ Cruiser. And I can't remember that guy's name. I don't think it was Zach because that was the Wild Lake Coffee guy. But this was just like the road headed out. I love driving with this many vehicles, with this many radios, because they'd be like two cyclists coming up and you'd know it. Shout out to Trent. This is my friend, acquaintance, Trent, that this is his property through here. This is the King Creek Campground. He's developing a whole bunch of stuff around here, and this is his place. It looked great as we were going by. He's done a lot of cleanup of like invasive species of plant life around the area. So he's been fighting with municipalities to let him clean up the invasive species, which just cracks me up. So we stopped for gas. I took this photo because how often are you going to see a Viacross and an AMC Eagle lifted and together ever? Both with rooftop tents and awnings.
It would have been a better picture if it was a two-door Eagle 4x4, but that is still right. Pretty freaking cool.
I feel like the rarity of the image itself is amazing. So from there, we headed out into the snow mountains. So we headed up to a place called LaSalle Lookout, which was just a bunch of, it was just snow driving in the mountains. But like from where we were yesterday, this was just such a change in scenery. This was like the looking up from where we were. Once we drove up into that snow, you get to look down on all the red rocks and the buttes, and it was gorgeous. Eventually we reached a point, and I don't think I took any points or any photos of where we were stuck, but I know Margie did. I'll grab her image real fast off Instagram. Eventually,
from any camera.
Do what?
It's incredibly beautiful. Any camera,
right? Dude, eventually though, Margie grabbed this shot because this is Jared's AEV Wrangler, so hung up on snow that he was like, all four wheels are off the ground. We could rotate the tires right now if we wanted to.
Was this a mistake?
This is a asphalt road that they do not do winter maintenance on. Mm-hmm. That we were trying to go from this into the top of a trail, and we couldn't get through the road. So they had Willie. So this is the AEV Wrangler being pulled back by the AEV Prospector. And then they put Willie in front to see if we could just blast through it. And even Willie couldn't get through.
Yeah, and if you got that much weight and power, you're not
right get through there. And so we just basically like, and look back here, like it's just regular asphalt. But then there was like three more miles of this shit, and we were like, it's not worth it. Like, let's see. Yep. They put Willie forward, and even then had to pull him back, with some help.
Man, literal manpower.
Yeah, literal manpower plus that AEV Wrangler in the background. So that was the beginning of day two. What became the rest of day two was this place called Onion Creek Trail.
Also famous. Also
highly recommend.
Yeah.
Absolutely gorgeous red rocks. You can see like there was snow based on all the mountains all over the place, but the temps were great. There were many phallic jokes. And when you roll this many dudes off-road, like the jokes weren't getting made. Yeah. But basically like, it was just this. It was a subtle creek crossing. We had good intelligence that if there's a concrete bridge about part of the way up, anything above the concrete bridge was like 2 to 3 inches of mud everywhere. And so basically we ran up to the bridge, and then 39 vehicles did a U-turn to get out. And I definitely know I have an image that like shows that. of like, this is our Moab traffic jam.
I mean, awesome picture, but that sounds terrible. That's a lot of people.
It really wasn't that bad. Like, and to be honest, everybody, like, you know how every group has that one cranky pants that's always like, meh, meh, meh.
Yeah.
There's no ducks. There's nobody just going quack, 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 quack. Everybody's like, can you believe we're here? Like, literally everybody's attitude is like, will you look at these rocks? Like, even a point like this, the weather was chill. We're surrounded by awesome off-road vehicles. You just drop the window and you sit there and talk to each other for like 3 minutes as everyone shuffles forward. And then we just
as somebody pulls a U-turn
and gets in the back of the line. I did take a longer video of like just running out behind Margie. And it was just stream crossing after stream crossing after stream crossing. That was Savachi drone
flowing. Yeah. Out. Yeah. Flying over.
Yeah.
Saw him. He was probably waiting to run Gunner for a minute.
Well, that drone, I think, was Savachi from Rogue Overlands. Braxton, who was also on the trip, and I think he came with Enoch and Delilah. I think it's Delilah. What is their Instagram? They've got a big Instagram page. We'll probably talk to them.
Should have been Ewok.
Yeah. It's Mo Leisure X Ventures. Delilah, Enoch, and Ella is their dog. But Braxton came with them. And they were in one of the black Xterras, but their roof is cut off theirs. They can get into their RTT through the truck. And they're still out there. Like they got to play with the Jeep concepts. Actually, that was their Xterra in our traffic jam photo a second ago, because they have stickers all over their quarters. They're trying to hit all the national parks.
Oh my God. Good for them.
Yeah. They've got two in Mexico already and a bunch in the US. So out of that, we went to camp that night. Camp for us is always hilarious because it's 39 vehicles, which is just massive. We rolled into the camp spot and here's these two vehicles parked there already. Mm-hmm. And they basically went up to them and were like, listen, you guys can stay, but we're bringing 39 trucks here tonight. Yeah. Are you sure you want to stay? And it was potluck night. Which the first night was taco night that was sponsored by a company, and it was a big name company, and I can't remember who it was right now. Shit.
Are the campsites reserved, or was it just like?
No, it's all BLM land. So the first night was actually we camped on private property, and so there was an arrangement with those people. Is actually, there's like a disc golf course there. It's called like Adventure Base Camp or something like that. You can. Mm-hmm. Rent the space, basically.
So what would have happened if you showed up to this next campsite and there was another group with 39 vehicles there?
So based on what I overheard from radio chatter and then the Knicks discussing, there were alternative campsites lined up for each night.
Got it.
If it didn't work out. So that first night, though, we knew it was going to work out. But then like night two, they were like, do we want to go to the other sites that we looked at? And they were like, no, we'll just go talk to these guys. And then we tried to like pull over and stay fairly far away from them. Potluck was great. Everyone kind of sat around the campfire for a while, but then like I was getting tired. I went to bed. Day three started with Savachi's truck blowing up on I-70. And so
that's fun.
Yeah. We went and visited this missile test site. But basically he had to pull off. So basically if you pull off at Green River, Utah, and go south a little bit. So we pulled off, went to the gas station again. And then from there, we got out to this missile test site. It's a very interesting complex. They didn't bury the conduit lines. So like I'm standing on top of that bunker now. Yeah. These corrugated tin things
are just covering them?
Are covering the conduit that ran wires out to these things. So
this is a federal thing?
Yeah, this is the Air Force. It was just, but so like these were the vehicles that were like circled up that came with our group. Just about everybody was up there. So Tacomas, Forerunners, big guys, everybody. Lauren's obviously down here with the trailer because why pull up into this tight space when he can be down there in a trailer? Mm-hmm. So I talked about Badge of Honor. This is the Badge of Honor, the driver's side rear. This was the point where I was like, I've got time. I'm going to kind of go through. These were the little scuffs on the front, these like lighter white ones that stayed, that black one stayed. And then this black one on the driver's front. Sounds like my wife's allergic to me tonight.
She's allergic to you damaging her.
Sorry. Right.
Yeah.
So this was Sean's for FJ Cruiser.
Hello.
He's got lots going on there.
Yeah. He's got
two transfer cases.
What, a Marlin crawler
transfer? I don't know.
He didn't. The funny thing is that
he talked about it in the episode with the Rogue Leaders, but I don't
have to. Yeah. The funny thing is a lot of people swap FJ transfer cases into Tacomas and fourth gen Forerunners. Also, yeah. He has beadlocks, or presumably beadlocks, hopefully real beadlocks, on what looked like the late FJ upgrade wheels, which became the early fifth gen Forerunner Trail and then TRD wheels.
Right.
Which means they are beadlocks adapted to them.
Sean's truck was amazing, except for on day one in the snow. I have to switch windows. That place where I was showing you where the Via Cross and the AEV was coming up.
Mm-hmm.
So all of us drove up that, and all of us had our driver's side wheel about here where the middle of his truck is. So he was 2 feet left of where the rest of us were.
Why?
I don't know what the story was. And Nick was spotting. I don't know how it happened, but hooked the winch up to the back of Jay. We got him going. No big deal.
Okay. And then I'm sure there's a story there. There's always a story when you get stuck. I mean,
there's always a little bit. So I don't know if it's a miscommunication or what. But they got out of it fairly quickly, I'll say too. Like it did not take forever to get that gone.
Yeah. The difference in time it takes to recover a vehicle between people who have done this before and haven't is hysterical.
Right.
Yeah.
I did get a photo. So in Green River, there is a model of one of the missiles that they launched from that test site. So supposedly they launched from here to White Sands. So those missiles were headed from New Mexico.
For the listener, it looks like a rocket you launched as a kid, except it's probably 25 feet tall.
Yeah, I would say it was fucking huge. I snapped that and it's like the entire passenger side window of the Sequoia.
And that's a small missile in the grand scheme of things.
Right. So I know I said, I think fuel stop ahead of time. I'm pretty sure we did the fuel stop after that. Drove up to a spot with some sculptures on it. Everybody aired down again. I used an ARB deflator this time. That's definitely on my list of like stuff I want, because it took me like 12 seconds of tire where before it was taking me like 5 minutes of tire.
They're like $25.
I don't know how much they are. I haven't looked into it yet, but I definitely know. I want one.
They're on Amazon. I literally just moved it a few minutes ago because I realized I need more of my workbench to figure out where that USB thing is going to live. And I was like, oh, this thing needs to live in my truck.
Right. So
it is Amazon currently it's 54.
Yeah, I would say 40 to 50 is where I thought it was.
Yeah. It wasn't that expensive.
Anyway, day two, I spent almost the entire day in two-wheel drive because of whatever was going on with the 4x4 system. It didn't require 4x4 to run Onion Creek. There was one spot in the snow I had to put it in 4 high to like just get like, it was like slushy and I couldn't get traction. But I didn't hear the noise. So starting day three, we go to the missile test site again. I've been two-wheel the whole time. We got done with the fuel stop and we headed out on this trail. It's called Green River Ledges. And it is just a gnarly section. This is why I call it Tan Mars, because literally there's no vegetation, everything's tan, and it was crazy dusty.
It looks like if you've ever seen like the volcanoes in Hawaii, once you get like past the tree line at like, you know, several thousand feet, that's what it looks like.
But just tan. And we hit a crazy section of off camber pretty early on there, where I was actually more uncomfortable on that than I was on the stuff on 7 Mile, because the stuff on 7 Mile was like, it was a long slope. This was like shaley, like,
yeah.
And then there was like a little bit of a lip, but even the lip didn't look like it would hold anything. And it just felt like my ass was already on the lip the whole time, mm-hmm. which I didn't appreciate.
Yep.
But I put the truck back in four low, ran all of this, and I kept waiting to hear the noise again. And I never heard it this entire day. It got to the point where we were doing some pretty gnarly stuff in the rocks, like trying to like bump up to stuff. And so you're over revving a little bit.
The mod.
Yeah. No issues. By the way, I have got to work and practice that. I was shit at it. Sabachi was like, homie, you're not doing it right. And I was like, I know. Yeah. And Ian pulled me aside and was like, with rocks as like a visual, was showing me what to do. And I was like, thank you. Cause now I can visualize it. And
yeah.
Like, I'm a visual learner. Who knew? Yeah. But we did get to one section of the trail. So because Nick S's truck went down, Red Leader Mike became like, Nick joined him in his truck. So he became to go everywhere. So Ian got promoted to Red Leader. So this section of rock here, Nick Schulte went through first with his Xterra, but his Xterra is a badass. It just crawls through stuff like no big deal. Ian's got a high clearance bumper. So he went straight down and over. Mm-hmm. And then Margie went through. And I got a different angle of Margie going through. But at this point, I'm already like, I don't know how I'm going to do this because I've now watched two trucks drag ass. Like,
yeah.
Like you can see Ian's marks on the rocks still.
Mm-hmm.
And just and Schulte was up here and he was talking with us. And by that time, Sabachi got up there and we were discussing how to get me through it. But I wasn't the only one who was going to want to preserve like the integrity of the truck.
Yeah.
And so basically they were like, we're going to build a max track bridge. And I was like, thank Christ. First of all, it's the first time I've ever used my max tracks. Like that sounds lame, but I hadn't been stuck before. Like
yeah.
I've had them with me just in case, but
the
like,
thing is that they're not just for getting unstuck.
Right.
Like they're really valuable.
So
in other circumstances,
Margie scraped the crap out of this rock with her metal high clearance bumper. I didn't want to do that. And then she got hung up a little bit here again. Yeah. I didn't want to do that. So we did eventually get, and I wasn't the first one to go down through the max tracks.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out again to Gina because she got the video. Somebody went before me and I can't remember who. It might've been Sergio in the F-250 charm. No, it wasn't because I have a video of him. But you can kind of see like we had Margie's blue ones. My orange ones are below Jonathan's red ones.
Yep.
And if it looks like I'm going back and forth, it's because Schulte was giving me small hand gestures. And so on the wheel, I'm like, wait, which way do you want? And he's like, just little adjustments. I was like, okay. And again, like it gets a little tippy. But in reality, like it's very chill. I didn't damage anything on this one. You can just kind of watch the truck settle into it. And with spotters,
yep.
You're not at risk. Like Schulte's in front of me there. Keep wearing his Boba Fett onesie because this was Star Wars Day. So I had my This Is the Way Mandalorian.
That's a onesie? Oh my God.
Yeah,
good for
it's
him.
A Boba Fett onesie.
Holy shit, good for
him. And there's his Xterra in the background.
Wear fucking Star Wars clothes, drive around Utah. God damn.
It was fantastic. You felt like you're on a different planet. But like nothing's fast here. Like everybody. I say nothing's fast because I'm trying to really preserve the integrity of the entire truck. There were others who hit this stuff more aggressively.
Mm-hmm.
There's
always a huge disparity between the people who have, you know, throw caution to the wind and the people who are like the full mechanical sympathy.
Right. Like I needed to drive the 14 hours home.
Right.
So
a lot of us do ATV and UTV stuff.
Yeah. So you can break shit and then get home through it.
Trailer. Yep.
The V across through that same section was hilarious. He didn't take the max track line. He was like, no, I'm going to come back to that original line because his wheelbase is shorter than a JK.
Oh yeah.
Than a two door Jeep.
Yeah. The V across is tiny. People don't realize how small it is.
So if you see kind of on his wheels, how there's little white dots on his wheels, somebody may have printed or bought a collection of male phallic valve caps. And so was replacing valve caps with little white. Yeah.
I may or may not have been party to that in the past. I'm not saying I was the one doing it. I'm just saying I was party to it.
Right. So that was like the gnarliest section of day three. This is how Mike Schaefer gets his reputation, because you can see the Max tracks over here. Everybody else was coming over here. Mike was like, no, I'm just going to come over here to this side. And if you watch, I
was wondering what was to the right of that.
Yeah, it's a big
passenger side
drop off ledge.
Yeah.
But like, this is why we didn't do it, because this rock then pops you up. And so it would have thrown all of our trucks onto the driver's side. But for whatever reason,
so awkward.
Mike likes to three wheel.
Is it that's a V8? It looks like a V8 for him.
It is a V8. Yeah.
Yeah. Is it a KDSS? No, well, it was an X3S truck at the time, right?
Yes. I'm not sure. I don't know if it still has that or not.
Good for him.
But then this is the Bex back here and their Ranger. So they were tail for everybody. Like, they were the last truck constantly. I think they called them Slave One on the radio. So Rogue One was at the lead, Slave One was in the back. It is an XL or an XLT Ranger, which then he just immediately started pulling shit off us. But it's got a go fast on the back, bumper on the front, and he's got more plans for it. One of them, their brothers, Eric and Will, I believe. One of them has a OBS Ford Bronco, like an OJ Bronco that he's. Ooh. Yeah, it's if you can't get onto his Instagram, he's doing fun stuff right now.
That's awesome.
Engine wise.
And this is really, really old here. How much more story do we have? Because my bladder is
reaching a limit. This is camp the last night. This is where I recorded the podcast. So when I talk about, like,
that is Mars.
It literally, like, there are trees down here because the Green River's down there, but that's it. Everything else, it was just like a wide open plain. And there were a couple ledges like down closer to the river, but all of us just stayed up here. Fire was over there. I need to ask these guys about their bathroom setups, because this is not a tent to sleep in. This is like,
yeah,
here's my bathroom.
They're on Amazon. I've been looking at them.
I need to invest in one, because after last May's trip in the transit van that had the portable toilet in it that we couldn't use because it was the marketing van, and so you can't then send it to a show with a dump in it. And not understanding how to just...
And this is what it will smell like when you use it.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, I... Supposedly it doesn't smell, but I didn't ever want to risk that as the employee of the company.
Yeah, right.
We had
the diaper pal that makes it not smell. And guess
what? Right.
It still smells like shit. Things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
After that trip and doing a couple of dumps in the woods and being in locations that maybe didn't have a lot of vegetation, I had to do one here.
Yeah.
In this location.
Where do you go?
So
half mile hike away.
If you have apparatus, you go in your little shed and you use the restroom in your little bathroom shed. Over to the left here, there were some mounds of dirt, like a hole had been dug, like a depression had been dug out and mounded up. And I was like, hopefully that, we didn't talk about it, but I assume that's the bathroom. And so it was in the early in the morning when I ran over there, and I did kind of run over there. It was my body was telling me it was time.
You go shovel in small hole, or you
bring I went Ziploc in wipes and made sure to take it with me. I left it in a gas station in Utah, so nice. Sorry guys.
Nice.
My
brother has stories to tell.
No, yeah, there's always stories to tell when it comes to bathroom antics. Yeah,
woods burning is never fun.
So from there, though, that morning I headed east. I filled up with gas in Green River, and then just I made it to, from that tank of gas, I made it to Frisco, Colorado. No. Yeah. I made it to Frisco. Somewhere. I made it all the way to Frisco, Dylan. I made it all the way to Frisco because I was like, I'm hitting Starbucks. And by that, it was lunchtime anyway, midday. So made it into Frisco, filled up. From Frisco, I made it somewhere into Kansas. I don't think I stopped at Lyman.
You cruised home, though. It was a
straight shot. Well, it was great until I hit east of Frisco is the Eisenhower, or east of Dillon and Silverthorne is the Eisenhower Tunnel.
Yeah.
Eisenhower and Johnson's. I ran into 30 minutes of traffic because there's a bump now that exists in the road as you go into the tunnel. So I don't know if that's geologic based.
Sounds like a jump.
Yeah, and it was a decent bump. Like when I drove over it, I was like, okay, just to finish out.
Like a frost heave kind of thing, maybe?
Maybe, something like that. I took stock of the underside of the truck the other day.
Are they aluminum or steel skids?
Steel.
All right.
So
you did good.
What I'm not sure about is that already rust or is it red rock? Could be both. Could
be power washer to find out.
Yeah. I know that for sure. There's one big hit that happened right here in the middle. Because this whole like flap now, like I can still get the bolts out, but like that's not super happy about it.
It's not great, but it's better than what it would have happened if there was no skid there.
Right. Yeah. Well, it would have been the factory skid, and so that would have been. I did get a close up of that. The factory skid was like flimsy as shit. So that is that spot right there.
Okay.
I
hit it with a wire wheel and fucking Rust-Oleum it.
Yeah, well, the rust reformer.
Mm-hmm.
So the sliders slid.
Yes.
They were down both the outside tube and the inside tube. Both saw some action.
As they should.
You can see front and back, some scuffs on the outside. I did on the passenger front, I felt something and heard something that was massive, and I can't see the scrape. I can't see what I did. So this is passenger side on the outside of that extension on the rear.
Yeah, kick out. Yeah.
Yeah. So I definitely used that. This is driver's side. Now that might even be the front of the passenger side, but yeah, no, like we did scrapes. Fuel tank skid. Saw some action. Like
did his job.
Super glad it's there. Look, it's got Suburban wheels and you got Lexus wheels in the background.
What wheels are those on the Lexus?
They're KMCs.
KMCs. They look like the Evo Courses from that angle.
Dude, I'm a big KMCs fan of them right now.
Yeah.
So driver's side slider saw way more action than passenger side slider. Like I was heavy on it. Mm-hmm. All if you look all the way up, all the way back.
Oh yeah.
Nothing on the frame though. No grinding on the frame. More of the fuel tank skid. Rear diff skid saw some action.
Oh yeah. It should.
Yeah, I'm so glad it was there.
It should.
So all the skids did their job. Okay, good. I was like, you know what? This is just in my Google Photos. Like, I don't know what the next images are. I want to clear out of this real fast.
You better be careful.
Yeah. Kids naked running around. Somebody made fun of my white and coral bag while I was this. Like, it's my snack bag. But like literally, this is front skid into transmission skid.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big scrape. I don't know what that is.
There was some weight on that one.
That one was deep.
Yep.
So yeah. Anyway, yep. I had a delightful time.
Yeah, did the job.
Sounds I was like exhausted.
It was a pretty awesome trip. You can kind of usually tell the enjoyment of an off-roading trip by the difference in condition of either body panels or protection.
Well, nothing's broken. It's body cosmetic scrapes. Eventually I got to get that front diff looked at and the bearings and figure that out. But that's the only takeaway of like, oh no, like the fridge was weird. Just being off a couple of degrees the whole time. I just got to mess with some settings on it. But like Sean was talking
as Sean
will talk about, because the show's going to come out before Sean's.
Yes.
For the
foreshadowing. Foreshadowing. The fridge wasn't perfect, but Sean had the solution.
Sean had logical statements.
What tense would that be? Because we're talking about it now.
Past, future.
Past future tense.
When I took Latin, that was part of it. Past present? Present past? I don't know.
Past participle kind of.
Considering I took Latin when I was in high school, and we can talk about how long ago that was. It's more than 20 years. So
It was as useless then as it is now.
Yeah, well, that's back when I thought I wanted to be a doctor or a lawyer or something. But now that I work in digital marketing, it's not super handy.
Yep.
So yeah, that's the show.
That sounds like it was a great trip.
It was a very good trip. I enjoy the crap out of when you go wheeling with people like that. Mm-hmm. Like you, when you have life experiences like that, they're not really just friends. Like they're more than friends. Like it's putting yourself in aggressive or dangerous situations, but not actually being in danger and coming through it mostly unscathed. And to be honest, Ross, the group that I'm going to say curated, the group that they have curated for that rally or for it was just fucking amazing.
That's awesome.
There's no bad apples. Mm-hmm. If you want to keep to yourself, no one gives a shit. You're good, man. Like you want to join the campfire. They're like, come on in, tell stories. Who gives a shit? Like that. It was a gregarious, fun loving group, but nobody was the a-hole. Nobody was an AH. And I love that I say nobody's the a-hole on my own show where I know we're allowed to cuss. And I had to tell Nick Savacci he was allowed to say asshole when I was recording with him.
yeah, that's funny. Man, that's great. They really do sound like good guys. And I mean, seems like they picked a hell of a route, you know?
Yeah, it was some good stuff. And I definitely know that like their flexibility was a huge part of the trip. I know they constantly were evolving stuff based on weather conditions, even when they were pre-running. Like we were supposed to run Devil's Racetrack. We did not go anywhere near Devil's Racetrack.
Yeah, not in that weather.
It was just more about like they, and no one cared. No one cared.
Yep.
The only reason I asked about it, because that was the one thing that I had researched, and I knew that was the like the next gnarliest thing we were going to do. Mm-hmm. They were like, no, we're going to go do this instead. And, all right, cool.
Okay. Like, lead the way.
Yeah.
You gotta trust in the people, you know, running the show at that point, that they have it in the best interest of everybody they're looking after.
Yeah, the organization. So, like, the good news is now I feel like I met a ton of people between Arizona, Nevada, California. Like, I know more people that way now. It's not just Jeff. We know other people that way. So, Jeff, we are going to get your Montero on some of the stuff. We're going to definitely get the stuff going.
He'll be able to afford it because as of this recording, the Jag will be gone.
Right. The Jag will be gone and hopefully it's going for good money, but I think he's buying mountain bike stuff.
Right. What the fuck? Yeah.
That's Jeff though. Like that's what he loves. Like he loves that stuff. He gets paid to do cars for work. He doesn't have to have it as a hobby.
We'll talk about that when he's on the show. Anyways. So, yeah, I think that's it. I'm glad you had a good time. Glad the Rogue guys are as good people in person as, you know, Nick was when he came on the show.
And I think part of it is a lot of them are either active or past military. And the other group is either like nurses and paramedics. So, like, safety was huge on everybody's mind. Like, it really, and like leadership tactics. Like, you could definitely see Savacci like opened the first day. He's like, hey, I'm gonna tell you right now, I'm gonna make a lot of noise. People are gonna think I'm an AH, but I'm having the time of my life. And everyone was like, you're good, man. Like,
good for him. Yeah.
Somebody has to be the driver of 39 vehicles to get us places on time, to get us going. And to be honest, no one was late. Everybody was on time and ready to go. It was awesome.
Yep. That's awesome. Sounds great.
All right, I'm gonna wrap it up. You wanna wrap it up?
Yeah. No. What wrap up are we gonna do? We don't have a guest to.
We can plug our own stuff.
Yes.
Normal tactics.
Plug Rogue Overland. Good for them.
Definitely, follow Rogue Overland. If this was intriguing, try to sign up for the next expedition. They fill up fast, from what I was told. So,
what is the next one? They have something in books.
I know that talking to Savacci, they were already planning, but I don't know that they know for sure yet.
Okay. Hey, Rogue Overland. Let us know.
They definitely will. Nick and I have already traded emails. Be like, yeah, we're gonna hang out again, so we're good.
Tell them to come east, and I can choose from my Star Wars shirts.
I maybe slid him some names for knowledgeability of overlanding in the east. So
I might know some things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
So please rate and review the show wherever you listen to podcasts. You can read what we write maybe again on Hooniverse. Ross, I know, has car reviews coming up. I'm mainly just podcast posts.
Catching up on car reviews.
Yep. You've driven stuff. I haven't. I've only driven my stuff.
And also, hey, Jeff, can we fix the site, please? Because I tried to schedule something for early morning Monday, and it went live the second I pushed schedule.
That's an Aaron question. That's not a Jeff question.
Whoever it is.
He's on Slack. You can text him.
You need to unfuck that.
Yeah, he's trying to see stuff in the logs. I know I've been fighting with it on podcast posts for a while, which is if you watch this on YouTube embedded on Hooniverse, thank you, because it won't let me do the audio version anymore there. So it's something in the background. They'll get it figured out. Not like the one from Friends. I'm at Overlanding Dad. Yep. We did a show. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks for listening to me brag about everything I went and got to do without you.
It sounds awesome, and I may or may not have lived vicariously through you the entire time.
Good. Good. It was interesting. Every now and then I'd get a signal. I'd be like, send pictures to people.
Yeah.
And then I wouldn't have a signal. And it was like, and after like a couple of days, like, I'm pretty sure I didn't send anything to Ross.
Like, hear from you for like 12 hours, I'd send you a message and you'd be like,
updates?
Is everything okay? Like, send pics.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, I'm just like frothing at the mouth. Yeah.
Part of it was call my wife, talk to my children.
Mm-hmm. Fairly important.
Let my parents know I'm still alive. Then text Ron and Brett, let them know I'm still alive. And then it was you. Like,
The next step is like a Garmin inReach or something, you know?
Yeah. I did know and think about that. And I know my wife would probably be a big fan of that, but I just don't want to drop the $300 on a subscription service that I'm not using all the time.
No, there's a Motorola thing that
just similar
drop to. Yeah, that's like same thing, but cheaper.
Sweet. I'll look it up.
So, that's the show.
Woohoo.
Yay.